Any opposed? Okay, carries. We go on to item B, consider bylaw changes recommended by Dixie MPO Advisory Committee. So Myron's gonna.
Thank you all. So I sent out in the email the proposed bylaw changes. We were looking through those a couple of weeks ago and noticed that some of the changes had not been codified in our bylaws. As explained earlier in the year, we've recently brought the town of Virgin into our MPO, and the changes that are listed in the bylaws, there's a handout with them in outline form. They were also emailed out prior to the meeting for your perusal. And I might note that after going through these changes with the advisory committee, they actually recommended that we correct the outline format of that. So I have a clean set of minutes or a clean set of bylaws with the outline corrected. But we're looking for a motion from this body to approve these changes.
Any question on the changes? I'd like to go over.
Were you able all to receive that email and look at that? Thank you.
If there's no questions, I'd take a motion if somebody's ready to make one.
Mayor, I can make that motion.
Okay, you got a motion, but Miley?
I'll
second. Okay. Sure. Mayor? Council? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. 2C, MPO financial report and presentation of the Unified Planning Work Program.
I'm going to try to share my screen here. So the Unified Planning Work Program is the outline of what our job as MPO staff are throughout the year. In this document, we outline how we will do long-range planning, short-range planning, and public involvement, etc. for the year. And within there is on the it's the second to last page is the budget for the year, and we need to look at that budget. In the 2026 fiscal year, the local match was a total. Okay, I'm going to display on the board the 2026 budget. The total local match in 2026 was $50,000. If we continue that into our 2027 year, we end up with a deficit on our required match. We don't want to do that, so it's become prudent to increase our match by $5,000 total. So it would go from $6,000 per vote share to $6,600 per vote share. By way of review, St. George is paying 3 vote shares. Everybody else is paying 1, except for the smaller towns. Tocqueville, Laverkin, Leeds, and Virgin would pay a third of a vote share. So we're asking for that increase in the local match, as recommended by the advisory committee. We're also looking for your tertiary review of the work program. Again, the work program was emailed out to everyone in the group earlier in the week. These hard copies are available around the table and at the back. And I might mention that Mayor Peterson went through this thing with a fine-tooth comb and recommended a couple of typos be fixed, and so we fixed them. But again, we're looking for the approval of the work program and the proposed budget increase.
Myron, just a question. Did we technically already vote for the increase? Because it's in the bylaws that we just voted for.
Yeah, technically, but let's make it official.
Okay. Again.
Any other questions?
Oh,
a motion, but have a second?
Second.
I'll second it.
2 seconds, I guess you can pick which one you want. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Item two, let's see, D, we kind of redid that one with the...
Yeah, we took care of E, C, and D.
So item E, presentation and discussion on community centers. I think Nate's taking this one.
Yeah.
They're going to email it to me and I'm going to display it.
Yes.
Okay.
City development patterns require transportation systems that are often designed to move large volumes of vehicles at higher speeds over longer distances. In contrast, centers support a shift towards serving more multimodal trips efficiently and safely within a more compact areas. Do you have that, Myron?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. And I'll just say like this.
Am I in the right spot?
Yes, you're in the right spot.
Okay.
So, make it big. That's what's trying to make it bigger.
Click on this little switcher. We'll make it big. That's fine. You can just do arrows.
Okay.
Perfect. And I'm on this slide. While the MPO can't involve dictate land use, we do support city and town centers and your land use development. From a transportation standpoint. Today we're going to specifically talk about the city centers piece of land use. Next. Alright, alignments. So I looked into several different national guidances. AASHTO, FHWA, and the MUTC. For those who aren't familiar, AASHTO is the American Association of State Highway Transportation. FHWA is the Federal Highway Administration. And MUTC is the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices. The engineers in this room love that. So, anyway, national transportation guidance supports center-based development patterns as a method to improve transportation system performance. With that in mind, also all about context. So today's context we're focusing on city and town centers. Next slide. These guidances suggest that best practice assumes high performance under center-based development patterns. Centers shift the transportation problem from moving more cars faster to serving more multimodal trips efficiently and safely. While none of these agencies mandate land use, their guidance performs well when centers do exist. These standards strongly support compact mixed-use city and town centers in the appropriate context as a way to improve transportation network performance. So I'm going to turn the time over now to Isla to talk about more what we mean by city centers.
Center is meetings, shopping, civic uses, services, recreation, educational opportunities. We have higher development intensity compared to the surrounding areas, and they are places where people refer to as the heart of the town. These can vary in size, scale, and shape. We go on to the next slide. So this was just an example of how different centers can be connected. So we have kind of a quarter center, and then we have a city center, and then we have a neighborhood, and then these are all connected through various modes of transportation. If we go on to the next one. So this is an example. So the next several slides are just examples of existing centers, just so you can get a visual idea. So this one is in Mill Creek. You can see there's lots of greenery, walkable spaces, access to different services. Next slide, please. So this is an example of an urban center. So this includes residential, shopping, and employment, and then it's all connected by a rail. If we go on to the next one. Again, this is a small town center. So really, it's just this area up here. It's smaller, but it's growing in that specific area. Next. Next slide, please. So this is an example of a mixed-use corridor or a central crossroad. So you can see right here, just a little bit of a central development right there. Next. Okay. Again, just similar to the previous one, just multiple roads. Next, please. So these are some additional existing centers. So Salt Lake City is a larger center area. Next. There's also Moab. Next. You can just go through these. Kanab. Cambridge. St. George.
Where's that?
We have downtown Logan, which is kind of a, this is their kind of Main Street corridor. As an example, we go on to the next. Vernal, McLeod, kind of similar. Gunnison. And then one thing we wanted to consider, are there other types of centers important to rural communities? Next slide, please. So an example would be campus districts, so the USU Basin. So this is, it's not necessarily a center, like a metropolitan center, but it is an important area for that region. Go on to the next slide. Cedar City, this is a kind of a retail corridor. Next. So we have industrial and employment districts. These are, again, they're not centers in the typical term, but they are important to that. We have a lot of these areas around across Utah. Travel service districts. So some of the benefits of centers, they minimize necessary travel times, they absorb growth using less land, so to protect the open spaces around, creates gathering places that strengthen community connections, increasing housing options, maximizes the impact of public investments, and expands transportation and access to jobs and education. We go on to the next slide. So looking at a statewide level, we want to bring together planning at the state, regional, and community level. By identifying centers, we are able to support more efficient use of infrastructure, improve access to jobs and services, and strengthen local economies. By identifying centers, we can also plan in advance and preserve the open space and the agricultural lands that we have. And then align regional transportation, land use, and economic development statewide. We want to identify the areas that are important to you and be able to help you preserve those areas and expand where we want to expand and keep the growth where we don't want it to go. So why should your region identify centers? So identifying centers for your region can help you certain local and regional plans where with a clear place growth strategy. This provides the MPOs with a practical tool to engage and support member communities and residents, and then focus growth in existing communities while preserving open space, agricultural land, and communities character.
Okay, thank you. All right, MPO participation. This has been a really big deal. So we actually started this work on a statewide level about a year ago. By working with partner organizations around the state, developing surveys. Oh, we go to the next slide. Thank you. There we go. So our staff actually pushed out the surveys to the area. Most of the counties in Utah did contribute to the survey to help identify. You saw some of those images of stuff that Isla presented earlier. Those were a result of part of this, so we could see small communities need centers, large communities need centers, but what they need are different. We also helped the draft the guidance of that, and we're currently working on a regional centers map for the MPO, which I'm going to have Thomas talk about in a second. But something really important from a transportation standpoint about center development is that we are a transportation planning organization. And one of our biggest things is putting funding for the traffic demand model. And really understanding and partnering with you all helps us put together on land use and centers, helps us put together a better model so we understand what the needs are in the future. We'll do the next slide, and then I'll turn it to Thomas, who's online today.
Hey, hi everyone. Thomas, for anyone who's not familiar with the transportation planner with the MPO. And like Nate mentioned, at the MPO we've been exploring the center's concepts in a way to help us inform our regional transportation plan. So this map that you guys are all seeing was an exercise that I did identifying potential centers in our region. And so this process looked like looking through land use plan, existing data, the proposed local developments that are happening around the area. I gone ahead and kind of marked them on the map and kind of gave them a little center type on that legend. So there's a couple city centers, neighborhood centers, small town centers, and there's a couple of other special districts that I've marked that up that might be potentially useful in our transportation plan. So these next steps would be looking at reviewing the center map and information with you guys, the cities and communities, getting feedback where you guys would want to see growth happen, and then sort of incorporate this map into our regional transportation plan, specifically our active transportation plan and priority process. Next slide. And that discussion kind of looks like these four questions. These questions would be, you know, where do you guys think that our existing centers are already in the region? How would you characterize these existing centers based on the different centers listed out below? Are there other, you know, districts that you might want to mark? So here we have listed out retail, employment district, industrial districts, campus districts. Maybe there are other districts that are on your guys' minds and we'd like to map that out. And then also where would new centers be, you know, looking into the future, what do our future land use plans look like? Where do we want to focus that growth in the future? And so those are kind of the questions that we want to, you know, facilitate and discuss in order to help, you know, make the best transportation plan that we have.
Right.
And then I'll give it back to whoever is talking about next step.
Next slide. All right, perfect, thank you. So there's a few, two more slides here, and then we'll wrap it up. Partnership benefits. The GOPB partnership aligns with regional and statewide growth objectives, improving planning and coordination with other potential partners. That's why we have them here. We're trying to work together with our state partners. Shared vision for centers. Establishing a common understanding for centers fosters consistent definitions and benefits across communities. We are a regional planning organization that is closely with our members and strengthen transportation planning, coordination, and prioritization of transportation projects region-wide. To support the transportation of local areas, this effort will support more efficient transportation in places where growth and activity are already happening and where our cities plan for it to occur. How this work, higher level coordination requires local guidance and support. So we're hoping to get support from this board to continue to move forward on this effort of doing centers coordination, land use coordination into our transportation plans. So that's really all I have.
May I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Mayor, I didn't see the word zoning anywhere in there, but let me just ask, it'd be interesting to see how many cities, small towns as well, have zoning that would allow both the commercial element and residential element. I know St. George has, because I was there a lot, and Springdale does, because I can see that as, if you don't have the zoning and one is exclusive of the other, then how do you have people living in Dover? I can remember when Little Valley just started, ever heard of it, Little Valley? The Burgesses came in and they suggested a traditional neighborhood district which had all of these elements in it, and it got shot down. You know, they just couldn't make it pencil because they thought nobody would come out. Now you've got the Creamery out there and a couple of small shops. People do use them, and bigger stores are closer. But it'd be interesting. And then Danielle has probably one of the prettiest houses downtown here. Did you have to repay impact fees? Okay, so I think that is important. If you take down an older house, or you, certainly not something historic, but if you take down something, you intended it, you could, granted, if you take one single family house and you have five apartments, that's different. But at least in the impact fee world, that gets so expensive if you're not really adding to more sewer or more water use. But you have a newer home, even if it's got an ADU, wouldn't you think that would help guide towards a center idea?
Yeah, there's a lot of great ideas. Zoning, obviously, you can't create centers without the appropriate zoning. And we're not really trying to get into the, let's tell you how to zone, but partnership. You know, of course, we could provide the technical assistance if needed. Obviously, St. George City has a whole staff of planners, and Washington City does too. But we're hoping here to do higher level coordination, partnering with the state on trying to identify statewide priorities in these processes as well.
Well, I think that's important. Is Bill just mentioned like what's going on in Little Valley at 3000 East right now. And I asked Cameron to look at an intersection down there because with the commercial growth, it does change that, and can we get ahead of that? So, and I had it 30 years ago, Little Valley is what it was today. So it was hard to see that. And, well, you can't really tell people how they have to sell the property either.
Nita, are you going to share this with us?
Yeah, see, can Myra sell them to send us those slides?
Yeah.
I would love that.
I can send these slides out to this group. I've linked into them, so you'll leave the link open. For the, okay, thank you.
Yeah, these discussions that issues have brought up are great. You know, we're doing regional roads, but being able to understand what those land uses like, do we want just single family out in Little Valley? Well, the way you do that, it affects the transportation system in a certain way. And so that's why we're doing this. We hope to that, you know, we still have a lot of work. We still need to do a lot of outreach for mapping these so we can actually see where you all are, and what we are seeing actually matches with what you're doing. But,
is that Thomas's lower left? Is that desert color?
Desert color's like right. Yeah, this one's the desert color
yeah.
Here.
Because it's been amazing to see how many commercial things are just popping up. You know, you've got a Chipotle, and I've got Mountain American Credit, all kinds of,
So this area, this spreads from this Spence all the way down to the desert color.
One more question.
Yeah.
So if, for those of the smaller cities and towns, like Tocqueville and Lees both have large developments going, we're looking at our own piece of that on what traffic impact has, but part of their development is coming over into Tocqueville. So would this group be able to help doing the modeling for when you've got two cities that are growing together?
So we can talk about it. When we use our consultants to do traffic demand modeling. So we have our long range traffic demand model. That's where we're looking way out into the future. But there's micro simulation models that we sometimes use our consultants for to understand those effects. And that's those are two separate things, but they're both important to understand the higher level or the tighter models, like the simulation models, they'll let us know what's needed in that area.
Are there any financial or monetary components to this that we need to know about?
No, for what I'm asking, no.
Right now, we're just asking communities to identify potential centers, or you may already have existing centers that we could map. There is also possibility that there is no center there, but it is maybe an area where it could have potential opportunities in the future. At GeoKippy, we're helping with the technical assistance. Like, we're here to offer any assistance you may need, including mapping, helping identify these. But we really want, like, we at the state really want your feedback because you know your communities best, and we want to incorporate that into this mapping process. But this could potentially be later used for, you know, I mentioned like infrastructure investments, so that could be looking if map, we can look at these areas and identify where infrastructure investment priorities could be, and then go after that mapping.
May I have just one more question? Oh, sorry.
No, you first.
How deep are you going to go into the conversation? Like, we can identify city centers, but unless we start talking about exactly how much it costs per resident for the transportation road frontage or road miles, I guess is the way you usually say it. You know, if you do choose, if your city says, we actually just want single family homes, are we going to talk in that conversation about the fact that single family homes sprawled out, they pay a lot more for that road mileage per home than if you're more dense, and like how that all coordinates in a city, you know, with the city budgets. Like, is that going to be part of the conversation at the GL level?
I would say that's up to you. We're asking for your blessing, basically, to move forward, to continue this process. So if that's something you want, then we can go in that direction.
Danielle, we certainly have the tools that we could bring those presentations and discussions to this body.
I just think it's helpful because at the end of the day, if we're building roads that we can't afford in perpetuity, like that's the thing we want to know, right?
Right.
If we're saying, we built the road now, but we won't be able to afford it unless we massively raise our property taxes. Like, those are the things I think that we want to know so that we're making good decisions for the future. So.
In the spirit of Mayor Peterson, I checked the spelling on regional.
Yes.
It's a minus two when I graded papers, but. presentation.
Does that mean I'm at a 98%?
I looked up regional, by the way. Don't look it up. Some lady.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? It's kind of going downhill, so we'll go from there.
Don't
so,
anymore.
Yeah.
It's not a voting number. He's just a guest.
Okay. We will go on to item F under 2, consideration request from St. George City to move MPO program funds from SR 7 exit 5 interchange to project to the I-15 widening exit 6 to exit 8.
So. Do we have somebody from St. George that wants to present?
Yes, I can talk about that.
Okay.
That's why I don't put presentations on the screen when Gil's here.
Yeah. I'll be quiet.
So most of you know, some of you may not know, over the years I've become more and more careful of where to spend federal monies, and I often move monies around to try and be more efficient. For example, if you had $100,000 of federal money to go put in a sidewalk, you can't just go spend that money on the sidewalk. You might have to do an environmental document that might cost you $150,000. And so, in this case, I've got some federal monies. They're about $3.59 million on Exit 5. I would like to move those from Exit 5 on Southern Parkway. City of St. George has a commitment with I-15 widening and those underpasses where we don't have those. UDOT doesn't have that federal grant, that $86 million grant or whatever that was. City of St. George made a commitment to provide $5 million. Because I-15 is federalized and I can defederalize the Exit 5 and not have to go through certain processes to try and save some money. This request is to move that $3.59 million. It's a summation of those two numbers of 3.149852, I think that's what it is, and the 444,000 to move those to I-15. That's the request.
Move to approve.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner. No. Okay.
So when we originally programmed these MPO funds to the State Route 7 Exit 5 project, there was a commitment by St. George City that they would build the project. And with the moving of the funding, that commitment does not go away. They're just changing the funding source. The SR7 Exit 5 will still be constructed, will still be built, but we're just moving the federal monies off of that project onto I-15, and then Cameron assured me that he would move the St. George City funds onto the Exit 7 project so that both projects could be built. Okay. I just want to make that clear.
I'll second it.
Second by Mayor Smith. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. We'll go on to regional updates. First, our local government updates. Anybody have things that they want to update this board on?
Mayor, I have something.
Okay.
We had a meeting this last week with, you were there,
yeah,
with our great friends at Kearney City and the county, discussing the Purgatory road alignment and bridge. Do we understand that there's federal money to make that happen? The charge for us was to come back and continue to have a conversation here and be ready and to ask for federal dollars as this comes forward. But Mayor, I'd invite you to step into and share that experience. But I felt like it was a really good conversation. John Curtis was down for, spent what, probably about an hour with us, and we had a good conversation. They took a lot of notes, took some maps. But we tried to emphasize in that meeting that this road is very important for a lot of reasons to a lot of us. The main factor is that, like you said, our good friend from Hurricane here, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Arthur
Brown, I'm sorry. No, yeah, he made a great point that we're linking 9 to 7, which is a great advantage for all of the travel, east-west travel on that side of the county. So anyway, that was something very important. Of course, the bridge is the big lift. It's going to be an expensive bridge. It covers a wide swath of river, marshland, and actual Burton River. So. Anyway, just wanted to make you aware of that. We'll continue to bring information forward, but I would like to think of it as a partnership, not only with Hurricane and the county, but with the MPO, because I think it's a value to the entire county to get that done. And now's the time, if not 5 years ago.
Yeah. That was a good meeting. We appreciated Senator Curtis being out and taking the time with us. And, you know, we know we're not ready yet for the funding, but it's nice to let them know a little bit of ahead of time so that we get prepared, they're ready. So I think it was a good meeting, appreciated it. So any other reports?
Mayor,
so,
okay. Just to a little bit talk about that IMF just really quickly.
Okay.
Thank you to Cameron for, I know he talked about some of those increased costs when we use federal funding, but Cameron did an exceptional job of moving some money around. And that was all made possible because of the exceptional partnership that we have with UDOT and how they stepped up when we lost that funding for those underpasses. And I just spent a couple of days in Washington, D.C. I met with all of our representatives, their offices at least, and with both senators personally. And they were very impressed with that partnership. And we asked them to make sure, and if any of you talk to them, to make sure that we can find, hopefully find still some funding to reimburse UDOT for reprogramming those funds to make sure we get those underpasses in while that widening project's going on. They were some really good meetings, and they were all very receptive to that. So just it was one of those really good wins where the partnerships all came through. So it was good. So thank you. Thank you, UDOT. Thank you, Cameron, for his good work.
That's definitely what we'd like to see is coordination. That's why we have these meetings and try to work together and make it all work. So appreciate all of your support. Any other local reports? If not, we'll move on to the UDOT report.
Yeah, stealing kind of my thunder, but that's okay.
No.
But the Transportation Commission did approve $67 million. It's not the 87, because after we went through all our estimates and our design, we're confident right now that the $67 million will make that project whole. The $62 million coming from our statewide transportation investment funds, and the $5 million with partnership with the state. We know the value, we appreciate. I love the MPO, I love how well we work together, and we can talk about this and help each other out, and I just really appreciate just how we can collaborate, and I hope we can always do that. I think this will be a win-win. If we get federal funds, that's a bonus, but we're committed, and we'll fund it fully until that happens. If it doesn't happen, we're still funding it fully. So I appreciate the commission, our transportation, realizing the importance of this also. So if you see them, like on Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Online,
Bruce.
Thank them for their commitment to this great community here. So, and then the only other update I really wanted to give is that the South Bluff project, I think we have a commitment from the contractor to get me started June 1st. I think it was getting in July, but he's committed to around that June 1st, so that's when the magic happens.
So. What will be open during the construction?
They'll have the same. Yep, they'll have. Yeah, you mean roadway wise? Yeah, I think they're, Tracy can answer that better, but I think they're committed to four lanes, two lanes?
Two lanes each direction during daytime, and then at night, so we'll have it down to one lane each direction. Some activities.
So you shouldn't feel any different congestion wise, other than I hope people go slow through the construction.
We will have reduced lane rates, so we'll naturally slow people down a little bit. Yeah, parts of it will lose the center turn lane at times.
Okay. Anything else on that? Okay, we go to our federal update. Anybody here is going to make a federal update today?
Federal update? Where do I need to go? Gary Webster, Senator Lee's office. Just a couple of notes. I'll be very brief. The expiration of the Surface Transportation Authorization for EGIP expires at the end of September. So a couple of things, because we're running at a significant deficit. Adjust with user fees, gas tax increase, or long-term funding shifts, which means vehicle miles. So all of you Tesla drivers get to enjoy perhaps, and this is not for sure, but the miles you travel will require some type of fee. So,
well, it's about time they pay their way.
What's that?
It's about time. I don't know what a Tesla.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, it's a Tesla. And for you farmers that use a lot of diesel, challenging time. But the Highway Transportation Fund, we're in a situation where spending deficits continue. So Senator Lee feels like we need to shift from federal to state. Let's take some of those a percentage of the federal monies and shift them from the grant situation to the state, where we can be much more efficient instead.
Thank you, Jerry. All right, anything else?
Yeah, one more question.
Right there. I didn't see you.
James Levitt with Representative Malloy's office. I'm going to lean against this. I had a weird energy drink this morning, and I'm feeling super loopy, so I hope I don't pass out. My grandma recommended it to me.
Grandma?
No, please don't.
Is it one of those drugs?
Yeah. Okay, so you guys probably all knew Kyle Wilson. He's gone back to the private sector. I'm his replacement. I've been in D.C. for the past 5 years. So I was the Congresswoman's legislative director, now I'm a district director. This week in Congress, the big thing is the ESA Amendments Act. I won't take too much time on that. A lot of you guys know ESA is kind of like Hotel California. You check in anytime you like, but you can never leave. So 3% of species that are listed are actually fully recovered. And I know that that bill basically creates a framework where states get to use their input in the regulatory process to essentially say this is what the goal should be for delisting. That way you can actually eventually get them off. But I think it's politically feasible in the House and honestly not the Senate. So this is going to be one of those long haul projects. Just some updates. I think on the funding front for FY26, we were able to get a couple Washington County projects funded, including the Santa Clara sewer line expansion at $1.25 million and the St. George Regional Airport at $2.8 million. For fiscal year 2027, we were actually able to make more requests this year. I think the outcome's going to be uncertain because, you know, it's an election year and there's going to be 10 to 12 Republicans probably that will want to take tough votes, and we'll be passing a CDOT continuing resolution for months. But when we do eventually get that funding, what we've requested within Washington County is $500,000 for virtual for secure virtual evidence rooms in all 24 rural county attorney offices, so I think that includes Washington County. $2.5 million for Ivins City Fire Station, $5 million for St. George Regional Airport, $1.7 million for the Emergency Operations Center requested by Washington County, $1 million for the Washington County Water Conservancy for a pump well at Sand Hollow Wellfield, and $3 million for the Santa Clara Transmission Line and Substation. And then the last thing I just wanted to update you on is my boss will hopefully be here for an official week of, May 4th to May 8th. So I got some good ideas from Commissioner Snow this morning, but if any of you have ideas, I know she wants to visit the bridge project and talk a little bit about your guys' police station you want to build, as well as kind of check in on the airport and the people involved with the project. But if any of you have ideas, just reach out to me and I'll give you my card on the way out.
Post offices.
I know. That's important. Yeah.
More energy drinks.
Yeah, I know. We're
going to
need a lot of
food. Thanks, James.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Okay. Notice there are upcoming meetings for the DTAC meeting on May 6th and also the DTAC meeting on May 19th. And if there is nothing further, take a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Mayor Catlin, motion. Any second?
Second.
Okay.
Adjourn. Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Somebody hesitated to make a second on adjourn.
Nice to see you both.